Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Key.
Traditions. Is there anything wrong with the traditions that we have in our lives as families, or that we may celebrate from time to time, or that we may participate in as citizens here in the United States or other countries? That question has been asked by a good number of people as to if these traditions that are man-made traditions, do these traditions violate the laws of God, and does God look at the traditions as a whole and either accept or reject them? Good people deny it. I want us to consider the topic of traditions and how that these traditions indeed are dealt with from a biblical standpoint, and that there are indeed some traditions that we might participate in this life that are good, that are not sinful, but yet at the same time, the Bible clearly tells us that there are traditions that we could participate in, and without question, God would condemn those type of traditions. The Greek for traditions is paradosis. In this, para literally means, as it is transliterated alongside, and dosis actually is to give. Whenever you combine these two words together, the definition would be that which is passed or handed to another. Good people, as we have said, traditions certainly are a very vital part of our life. Whenever we think in regard to traditions, we find that in society, we have multiple types of traditions that we would engage in. Some would be celebrations or holidays, activities, and even sporting events. Even in the Lord's church, we realize is that there are times that we would have traditions such as fellowship meals that are appointed at various times during the course of a month or throughout the course of a year, or even our Bible Bowl for our children to participate in. And even we have in our families traditions such as the celebration of birthdays, anniversaries, and reunions. We have foods that we would introduce during the times in which we would present as a traditional thing in our family, such as at Christmas, we have ham. During Thanksgiving, we have turkey. And then during New Year's, it's black-eyed peas and sauerkraut and mashed potatoes and things of that nature. Whenever we think in regard to traditions, traditions certainly are a part of all of our lives. And we also need to understand tonight that Jesus Himself participated in traditions. He attended weddings, as what we have in the book of John chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Also, we realize during the course of His life is that Jesus attended funerals to pay His condolence as well as to support those who were grieving the loss of a loved one. We also understand, as is taught from the book of John chapter 10 and verse 22, that Jesus attended the Feast of Dedication, which is a man-made feast, which is a feast that came into play between the Testaments, between the Old and the New Testament Scripture. Biblically, whenever we think in regard to traditions, we have two different types. Number one, there are traditions that are handed down from God. We want to note the Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, where Paul says that those at Corinth must, in observing the things that God wants them to do by following His example, that they must understand and keep the traditions which are the commandments that were given forth by God. Also, the Apostle Paul, when speaking to the saints at Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, concerning these saints, that they need to stand fast and that they need to hold true to the traditions that God had given unto them. Also, the Apostle Paul dealt with those at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, and he says to these individuals that they are to withdraw themselves from those who do not follow according to the traditions that they had been taught. Good people, what are these traditions under consideration? These traditions are the commandments of God. They are the things that God, our God, requires mankind to do in and throughout the course of our life here and in our relationship with Jehovah God. Also, though, we understand that sometimes from a biblical standpoint, tradition speaks in reference to those things that have been handed down by man. In the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 2, Jesus said, the Pharisee says, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Also note verses 3 and verse 6, he says, your traditions. These were not the traditions of God, the commandments of God, but rather they were the traditions of the elders of that day. The Apostle Paul also spoke in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14 concerning traditions, and he identified that, good people, he understood the traditions of the fathers. Well, who are the fathers? They were the leaders therein and amongst the Jewish people. And Paul attributes them not to the commandments of God, but rather to these leaders in Israel. Also in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, we understand there that Paul, in speaking to the saints of Colossae, said that it's easy to be deceived by what? By the traditions of mankind. So whenever we think in regard to traditions from a biblical standpoint, are we dealing with the commandments of God, or are we speaking in reference of those things that have been handed down by man? And also, we need to understand, are we looking at those things that mankind is trying to place upon us as the commandments of our God? There are traditions that Jesus Christ Himself condemned, and good people, those traditions are the traditions of the Pharisees. In the context here, we understand that Jesus had taught a group of Pharisees there in Capernaum. In all of this, we understand concerning what Jesus dealt with these individuals, is that these Pharisees were debaters. Good people, there were indeed some who were Pharisees, who were fairly decent individuals, but yet at the same time, when we consider the whole picture of what we have presented in the New Testament Scripture concerning the Pharisees, it appears as if these people were constantly at odds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were always coming at Jesus to test and to try Him. Oftentimes, they were not concerned with what it was that Jesus had to say, and in that I mean for learning that they might obey Him, but rather they wanted to trip Him up. And in the context of what we have here, we understand concerning these debaters, these Pharisees, they were at your throat, debaters. They wanted to tear Jesus Christ apart. They wanted to hasten His death at Calvary's cross. And we deduce this from the book of John chapter 5 and verse 18, also John chapter 7 and verse 1, also from the context that was read a few moments ago from the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. In all of this, these men accused our Lord and Savior and His disciples. What is it that they first off accused Jesus of? If you go back into the context, good people, to the things that are stated, they first accused Jesus of breaking the laws of the Sabbath. Had Jesus violated the laws of the Sabbath? By no means. In all of this, we understand, though, that Jesus was fulfilling the commandments of our God to be helpful, to be merciful, to extend God's love in multiple ways. And certainly this is why Jesus did what He did on the Sabbath. But also in the context of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 2, also what we learn from Luke chapter 7 and verse 3, these Pharisees came to Jesus, and good people, in all of this, they were accusing Him and more specifically His disciples of breaking the traditions of the elders. They were wanting to trip Him up and to charge Him against breaking the laws that had been established, and they were attributing these laws not strictly to the elders, but rather as commandments of our God. Who are the elders? Good people, the elders are not elders in the body of Christ. Why do I state that? They're not the same as the elders as what we have today. And the reason for that is primarily is because the Lord's church had not been established. Also, we understand from the context is that they were not synagogue officials. Who was under consideration? Good people, these were the leaders in and amongst the Jews. They were considered to be experts of the law. If you wanted to know anything regarding the law, you would have gone to these individuals, and these men would have been able to have defined the law. Understand also concerning the laws that the law is referred to as the Torah. The Torah, in regard to these elders, they looked at Moses, and that Moses had given them the written law, the commandments meaning the Ten Commandments, as well as all that we find from the Old Testament Scripture. But also, not only that He had given them the written law, in like figure, they believed that Moses had passed on the oral law by the end of the 3rd century. That law there had been added to and eventually became known as the Mishnah, and eventually, by the end of the third century, the Talmud. Good people, in all of this, we also understand concerning the traditions of the elders is that they had taken the law that God had given through Moses and they hedged around the Torah. Somebody says, Kevin, what do you mean they hedged around the Torah? Good people, they took the traditions that had been established by the elders and they put them in place in and around the law. And whenever we consider this, first off, I want to say is that it doesn't seem like it's really a bad idea. Why do I state that? Because their intent to begin with was to say, you know, God's laws are so strict and man must keep His laws exactly as they are given. And for that reason, let's make a fence or a hedge around them with other types of laws so that man doesn't even get close to violating the laws of God. It sounds pretty good on the surface, doesn't it? But yet at the same time, good people understand they had no authorization to do so. They had not been given a thus saith the Lord to hedge around the Torah. Instead, what did they do? They added to the commandments of God to the point to where now they have established man-made traditions. And what is wrong with all of this? Good people, they were binding. They were binding these things upon all people. The law required. Under the law of Moses, multiple things. But one thing that we realize in the context of what's stated here is that it had bound ceremonial washings. Well, what was the purpose of all these ceremonial washings? Good people understand it was not for hygiene purposes. By all means, it's right for us to wash our hands, to cleanse ourselves. Why? Because if not, we're going to run into some health-related issues. But understand what we think in regard to this ceremonial cleansing that is required in the book of Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 13. It was not for this reason that law was given. For what reason is it given? For eligibility to approach our God. In order for Israel to come before God, they would have had to have been pure. And therefore, this is a symbol of purification before God. In order for them to come to God and be pleasing and acceptable before Jehovah God. We understand also concerning their traditions. These traditions had been extended as well as complicated the law of our God. In fact, Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 23 verses 1 through 23 looks at the Pharisees during that day and He rebukes them very much so because of the fact that they had added to the law. And interesting to all of this also is that not only had they added to it, they were requiring these things of the other people, but yet they themselves were not doing what they were trying to get everyone to do. The Pharisees would wash before eating anything. Why was that? Good people, it went even beyond what the law required. In this, we understand as we consider their school of thought, it would have been something like this. If you have a bowl sitting on a cabinet and a mouse comes up and touches that bowl is now unclean. And whatever you now put into that bowl becomes unclean. And today we might say, ew, that's pretty unsanitary. But yet at the same time, if it just touched the outward side of the bowl, does it mean that the entire bowl itself is contaminated? No, not necessarily. But they looked at it as if it were, and anything that would have gone into that bowl was contaminated, and then anyone who would have consumed that became defiled themselves, and then as they went out and gathered around other people, they were defiled, and then every person that those people came in contact in like manner was defiled before God. You see how ridiculous that sounds. But also we understand is that they bathed themselves from going to the market. Whenever they had entered into their home, having been to the market, we understand is that they wanted to make certain they were clean. Why? Because just in case they had come into contact with somebody who was not clean, they wanted to make sure that they were clean. In case they had come in contact with a dead corpse, not necessarily just a human, but rather also some sort of an animal that maybe they hadn't even seen or known was there. Somebody says, Kevin, but they're just being protective. They were just being very cautious, and good people understand. Not only were they being cautious, if that's all that was under consideration here, by all means, we would say, okay, sure, we can kind of accept that. We can relate with those things, but understand there's more here. The problem is that they were binding these rules and regulations upon everyone. They were saying everyone has to do these things, and if you do not do it, you have violated the law of God. What have they violated? The tradition. But they were saying you violated the law of God, and for this reason you stand condemned by our God, the disciples. Let's consider the disciples. Good people, we learn from the book of Mark chapter 6 and verse 31 that the disciples did not always have time to eat. Why didn't they have time to eat? Good people, understand these men were men of God and they wanted to accomplish everything that they could during the course of their day for the good of God's kingdom, for the good of our Christ, and for the good of the coming of the kingdom that Jesus was going to establish. And for that reason, oftentimes they did not have time to eat. And sometimes, even whenever they did eat, they ate grain while they were walking through the fields. Oh, imagine this. This would have gave the Pharisees something else to have talked about. Why? Because that would have been looked at in like figure as being unclean. Good people, understand this. They did not follow the elaborate ritualistic traditions of the Jewish leaders of that day. In all of this, we understand that the Pharisees were perplexed. They were beside themselves. They could not understand, why aren't you following what it is that our fathers have set forth for us to do? Do you not respect our fathers? And good people understand that they had forgotten the Father in looking out for this good of the elders, that is, the leaders of that day. In all of this, we understand that they condemned the disciples of Christ, and in condemning the disciples of Christ, in like figure, good people, they condemned our Lord and Savior. Jesus scolded these Pharisees. He spoke very boldly to these individuals, and understand that He did not answer their charges, but rather He gave them an example from the law of Moses. In His rebuke, note the indictment, note the charges that He brings against them. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, "And He answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. This you have violated the commandment of God, and hence your tradition of no effect." In all of this, good people, understand that the Jews realized that they could commit the value, or they could commit the funds that they had in their hand as Corban. Well, what is Corban? To commit it as Corban means that you say that it is a gift to God. And that individual themselves who presents it as a gift to God still has rights to that as they go throughout the course of their life for their good, but also understand it could have and should have been used for the good of their family members. But yet they were saying, because we have given it as Corban, we do not have to help our mother and father. As mom and dad came to them, they would have said to them, and according to the traditions of the elders, get away. What are you doing? You know that I've given it over to God. You don't have any right to it. And Jesus is saying, shame on you. You've taken the traditions of the elders and you're making it, you're placing it over the commandments of God. Good people, in all of this, we learn concerning Jesus that He is saying that they have forsaken the law of God for the traditions of mankind. What a very powerful lesson for the religious world of which you and I live in at this time. When are traditions sinful? Good people, traditions are sinful whenever the tradition violates an expressed commandment from our God. The Bible speaks very clearly through what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God has breathed His message to man. Also we learn, as Peter says by way of inspiration, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, as His divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. What is it that Peter is communicating on the behalf of God to us? Good people, he's saying that God's Word is complete and God's Word is sufficient for everything that we need to do in life and to know in life pertaining to our relationship with God. We also understand, whenever it comes to worshiping God, Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that God is Spirit. And those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And good people understand, though even during the days of Jesus, man sought to introduce traditions. Whose traditions? Not the tradition or the commandments of God. Why? Because they did not need to be introduced. They were being introduced by Jesus and the apostles during the course of His life and ministry, as well as, more specifically, by the Lord's church after His death on the cross and the establishment of the church. In all of these things, then, where were they coming from? They were the commandments and the traditions of mankind. And as a result of that, Jesus rebuked those in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. We need to learn what Jesus stated and dealt with in the book of Matthew chapter 21 and verse 25. To ask, is it from heaven or is it from man? Is the thing that we're dealing with from a religious standpoint in our worship, do we have the scriptural grounds to be doing it? Or is it something that is an innovation, something that would be considered a tradition of mankind? If it is a commandment from God, then by all means we must do those things. If it is a tradition from man that certainly violates the law of God, then good people, we do not put God's law aside for the sake of tradition, but rather we put the tradition away for the sake of God's commandments. We learn from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 that we need to know not to turn to the right nor to the left. God says that we need to go right down the middle path that He has paved for us throughout the course of our life here. Good people, also, when does God consider tradition to be sinful? When that tradition takes on an undue significance. That's what's under consideration in the book of Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 26. These individuals were binding their traditions on everyone else. And in like figure, you and I can be equally guilty of doing the same thing, thinking this is my opinion, and based out of my opinion, it becomes a tradition that I'm comfortable with, that I want to do, and because of that then, I want others to participate in that, and we become legalistic in that, and we bind it upon everybody else. Understand, good people, the absurdity, as well as how quickly things like this can enter in. Even to our worship assembly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 34, we are given very explicit instruction from the Lord concerning the Lord's Supper. And in this, we understand that we are to partake of the unleavened bread as well as of the fruit of the vine. And there is an order that we must follow in regard to and prayers that we must offer as we are getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. But let's say, for instance, tonight that our elders were to say that we're going to move the Lord's Supper table over to the side. How would people respond to that? Let me illustrate. At a congregation in Anchorage, Alaska, this happened. The elders recognized sometimes that we can be guilty of having traditions, and because of that, they said, let's give this example to the congregation. So they took the Lord's Supper table and they set it over to the side, and they still observe the Lord's Supper exactly as is commanded in the Scripture. And many in the congregation went ballistic. They said, you can't do that. Why? Because we've done it this way for many, many years. And to do so, you've just sinned. Good people, had they sinned? Absolutely not. Another example in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. We are commanded to sing and to make melody in our heart. Unto who? Unto God. And certainly we understand is that we must sing songs that are scriptural and that we must sing those songs with all of our heart, with all of our might, praising our God and our Creator. Good people, in all of this, though, there is a caution. We need to make certain that we do not extend our liberty, that we do not overstep our boundaries to the point to where we would cause our brother or sister to stumble. Amen? In these things, by all means, God identifies for us that traditions, traditions within themselves that there's nothing at all wrong with. In fact, I believe as we look at the traditions that, especially those of past generations, this present generation has so much to learn from. Why? Good people, because a lot of those traditions was about family and about values. And if only we had some of those strong traditions from the families and from our society today, I believe that we would be so much better off as a nation and sometimes even as families and maybe even as the Lord's church. We wouldn't face the things that we face. But yet at the same time, we need to realize that sometimes traditions are wrong. They're sinfully wrong. Why? Because they will violate the commandments of our God. Why? Because they will bind upon people things that God has not bound. Today, tonight, more specifically, we want to ask that most important question. Have you submitted yourself to the tradition, to the commandment of God, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, the Bible tells us that you are not a child of God. But God does not want that. God wants you so much to be a part of His kingdom. God wants you to have the forgiveness of sin, and God wants a relationship with you, and God wants to spend eternity in heaven with you. But you know, that choice is yours. That choice is yours.